Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will be finding common ground and taking it to the next level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. This show will indeed encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. It's my hope that you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. We're all one. This is a no-holds-barred show. My guests will have differing spiritual belief systems, and some will have no spiritual beliefs. That is not the case today. You may or you may not agree with things that are said. What I'd ask you to do is keep an open mind. This way, you can see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself with others. Now, today, this is going to be an exciting show. It's going to be a musical event with an up-and-coming New Thought singer by the name of Jaya. In 1996, she had a mind-blowing inner awakening which changed everything one day. From that day on, nothing was ever the same, and she has shared her unique work in many of the news across the U.S. and Canada and Europe. Her deeply inspiring and transformational work has been referred to as shamanic performance art, as well as poetic satsang. She is author of the book Living Beyond Belief, How to Ditch the Life Your Mind Created and Start Living the One Your Soul Intended. She has a CD of original songs titled Pure Divinity, and she assists service to awakening heaven on earth. If you want to find out more about Jaya, please go, and it's Jaya Lee, but her website is simply www, I'm going to spell Jaya, it is J-A-I-A, then S-G-A-I-A.org. Again, Jaya's website is www.jaiasgaia.org. And so with that said, I'd like to introduce Jaya. How are you today, Jaya?
Feeling wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, that is super. That is the state that we are all supposed to be in each day, and we have the capacity to make every day the best day of our lives, and more importantly, the present moment, because that's where it's all happening. Would you agree with that?
It is. It's all happening, and we're all already there. We just forget sometimes.
That's right. Now, I am probably on the same wavelength as you, but what exactly do you mean by that statement?
That life in reality, with a capital R, is heaven, and it is in the higher frequency, and I'm sure I'll be sharing a little bit about this event that occurred and has occurred for many now, or waking up on the planet, and realizing that the concepts and the way that we had experienced life before, and we call that the real world, where all this war is going on and issues and fighting and poverty, that is the illusion. That's the imagined world that we keep recreating over and over. And so the real world is, it's always here and always available.
Well, I think that's very important, and I agree with you totally. I could elaborate more, but I'd take up the whole hour and more.
Mm-hmm.
What I would like to remind listeners is that we co-create with God. In essence, we are God, and that's not blasphemy, because God is everywhere present in every living thing, all-knowing, all-powerful, and we have that power within us. So I believe, whether or not you believe, you're entitled to your own beliefs, and I will respect that and be happy to dialogue with you. What do you believe about that, Jaya?
Well, it's interesting in itself because there is a level of belief, and as the book is titled, Living Beyond Belief, there are beliefs, and we can believe that life is good and that heaven is here now. And then there is the space beyond thought, beyond belief,
mm-hmm.
of the direct experience of it. And there are different dimensions, I guess, of awareness, one could say.
Yes.
I could say I believe that, yes, life is good, and then there's knowing. Then it just
yes.
it just is. Just is.
What would you describe as the difference between faith and knowing?
Let's see. Well, faith, you know, to have faith in something, in a sense, it's one and the same. In a sense, it's knowing through either, you know, experience, you just know that something greater is going on than your mind or your current experience is showing, possibly. And so faith, in a sense, is knowing. It's knowing that there's something more, even if it's not displaying right in front of our eyes, that there's something else going on, that something more is emerging, and that it's
mm-hmm.
that heaven is here, yeah, no matter what. Here.
Right. And we have the choice to create heaven or hell. That we always have a choice, no matter what, at a spiritual level, at a physical level, at an emotional level, we can choose our experience and create it or recreate it. The point is, why would anybody want anything other than heaven? Why would somebody want to create something that is not a heavenly experience? So, that's just a question for people to ponder. If there are any callers out there, Jaya and I are happy to take calls. I'd like to ask you what your spiritual background is.
Well, in growing up, I was having experiences early on, and I didn't have any formal religious. My parents didn't go to church, and so I experienced it church, sometimes through friends here and there going, and but mostly I was having these experiences inside and these insights through nature and then through
mm-hmm.
through music as well, you know, and
mm-hmm.
as I got older. And then I did start experimenting with some different places, and one of them being the New Thought Center in Huntington Beach, actually. And but really the I would say my spiritual background or experience was having just a pretty hellish experience that had been unconsciously created, and
mm-hmm.
with an abusive relationship and all these kinds of things, a 250-pound body and drug use, and one day really just completely giving up and saying, that's it, I'm done, and thinking I was going to lose my mind.
Mm-hmm,
yeah, I thought
mm-hmm.
it was just over, like I'm down the straitjacket, people can come in, it's over. And instead what happened, it was that the mind was done, you know, the part that saw separation and all of these imagined inner wars and outer wars, that part was done. And it was amazing what happened, and I was waking up in tears of joy every morning, and things on the outer experience started to change pretty quickly, and reflect that.
So let me ask you a question. Do you believe that your outer experience always reflects your inner experience, whether it's positive or negative?
I would say that. It's a law. It's a universal law. What I would also say is a part of that, why we might argue with that, is because it's primarily unconscious, especially if things are showing up that we say,
yes.
oh, you know, I didn't choose that, or I wouldn't want that.
Right. Well, when you say unconscious, let's take that to the nth level. What is mm-hmm. being spiritually unconscious to you?
Spiritually unconscious. you know, well, not aware that we are light and love and pure divinity, which is the name of the CD.
Right.
Yes, so,
yes.
We're
going to listen to the title cut from Pure Divinity, and maybe this would be a good time to do it. What do you think, Chaya?
Sure. Sounds good.
Okay. Everybody, this is Jaya Lee singing Pure Divinity. Well, Jaya, it's not playing, so we will come back to that later and try it again. I tried it earlier, and it worked. So let's return to the discussion of unconscious, if you will. What are the benefits of being unconscious, and what are the benefits of being conscious?
That's a good question, because there's always the benefits of being unconscious is we get to blame and project onto the outer world, and we don't have to take responsibility for those things that are coming up that we don't necessarily resonate with or feel joy in. And we can blame other people, and they can be the ones, or life, or God, or whatever we would say that is the problem. And if only they would change or they would do it different, or if life was different or this world was different, then, you know, then I could be happy or then this would be better. And so, you know, you could say that's a benefit, but we can also see the flaw in that. You know, blaming others, it does give us a way out, but at the same time, it doesn't necessarily bring us into the higher space and into the space where we know, you know, where the joy is and where our life is, where our creativity is, where our abundance is.
Right, so, right. Well, I think that is so important. The fact that we can create negative benefits is something that I think people want to take a good look at, because they really are not benefiting you. They may benefit your ego. You may enjoy conflict or think you enjoy conflict, but is that what your spirit is really seeking? That would be the question for you. Does it make you feel better at a heart level? So consider that. And I would ask you, when you get into an argument with somebody, what is left for you at the end of the day? Perhaps resentment, perhaps more anger, perhaps festering. Perhaps you beat yourself up. These are all very unpleasant things, and I would ask you why you would do that to yourself. So what are the benefits of being conscious, if we didn't already address that? And I'm sorry.
Well, you know, and the benefits, it's the great promise, you know, and where we can tap into different religions, and it's the good news. It's that, you know, life is eternal, and there's no fear. There's no fear in that space of knowing who we are and what we're here for. And the benefits also of expressing the gifts and talents that we have come in to share, there really is no greater joy of knowing who you are and what you're here for and delivering those gifts and having them received incredibly beautiful and, you know, harmonious, intimate, deep relationships. I mean, the list is endless of really being conscious and moving into more. I don't want to talk about it as if it's you know, heaven is a static thing. We're always growing and expanding into it.
Right.
And so we're always becoming more, right? So it's expanding, this expanding awareness. And, you know, something popped in as you were talking before. And just to come back, not to go back into the negative, but there's a point of clarity there. Another benefit of being unconscious is there is a part of us that feels really comfortable in our pattern.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's
yes.
a benefit too. It's a false comfort, but there's a sense of familiarity, you know, even if we're arguing, it's that same feeling over and over that at least we know what that is. We might not even know what joy is, or what a really deep, intimate, healthy relationship is. And so that's what can keep us.
The ego is threatened by change, and we all have egos. And so it's a matter of getting in touch with what it is that we're afraid of and letting go of it. Spirit is love, and where there is fear, there can be no love. And what person doesn't want love? So to remove block, you need to let go of fear, and the only thing to fear is fear itself, as FDR said. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was a very wise man. So, you know, take a look at when you're in a place of fear. Anything that's not love is actually a manifestation of fear. Anger is. Resentment is. Mm-hmm. It all stems from fear. And even things like sadness are not really loving. Let's put it this way. It's not a positive feeling to be sad. And that's not to say that you shouldn't feel sad, because it's part of the human experience. We need to embrace our feelings. We need to honor them and express them. But we don't need to stay stuck. That's the thing. And as Esther Hicks says, there's nothing more important than maintaining consistent moments of joy. Joseph Campbell said, follow your bliss. So I would ask you to examine your lives and see where it is that you have or haven't followed it and what has caused that for you. And in so doing, and journaling is a great way to get in touch, you know, especially to keep a record and see your own growth. And if you are not willing to open your mind, you're going to stagnate and spin around in circles. And as Jaya was saying, recreate the same life patterns. And if the lesson is not learned, it may return to you, and it probably will, in an even more unpleasant form.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
What is your concept of God?
You know, that's a really hard one to answer, and it really, you know, when it goes beyond concept and when it's a living relationship where the universe is speaking with you and you, your best friend, it's no longer a concept. It's like saying, what's a concept of your best friend? Well, okay, I can kind of describe it, but that space of joyful interaction and surprises, say.
Sometimes
what might be labeled unpleasant. And at the same time, when those quote-unquote unpleasant come in, and this is where we could say faith or knowing comes in, it's we know that there's a gift in that.
Yeah.
And there's energy within that. There's a quality that's emerging within that. And so it really is that saying it's all good. It really is all good. And it's love, you know, but love is a concept. You know, things as a concept and as a belief it's one level. And for this world, as we're transforming and evolving into the awakened awareness, the concepts, you know, they're going to carry us to a certain point. But at some point, it's going to be the direct experience that really changes the game on planet Earth. That's where we're going, beyond the concept.
Well, you said some important things. And backing up, because I just lost my train of thought, I wanted to comment on your statement about faith and knowing being almost one and the same. I'm paraphrasing what you said. But I wanted to add that faith can sometimes be blind, faith in things unseen. To me, knowing is that inner sense that this is true. And so it takes faith to another level. Faith is a beautiful thing, and hope is a stepping stone to faith. But to actually know is to be in direct communion with God. And the other thing I wanted to say about God, I agree with you. It is so hard to conceptualize God other than to ascribe human characteristics of love and joy and creativity and all of these things. But God is so much more. And like the universe, he's always expanding and evolving. And so there's no way that we as humans can grasp it, but we can experience it. And I'd like to try to play your song again. And if it doesn't play within 5 seconds, I know it's because I listened to it already. And then I will play your other song. And my apologies to you. I'll have you back again because I certainly want to play at least 2 songs. But if for whatever reason it doesn't play, we'll come back to the discussion. So I'm going to try Pure Divinity again. Divinity. And if you want to get her album, it's got the same title, Pure Divinity, and that was divine. Thank you, Jaya.
Thank you. I appreciate you sharing that song with us. I like that song. Okay.
Yeah. It's got some very nice sentiments in it, and I've enjoyed our discussion so far. So let's carry on. What inspired you to write your book?
Please
tell us the title of the book.
So the title is Living Beyond Belief, How to Ditch the Life Your Mind Created and Start Living the One Your Soul Intended. And, I started out writing a book on peace, and it was for a master's degree, and it just wasn't coming. Yeah, it just wasn't coming. And there was that part of it where I had written and been acknowledged for writing when I was younger, and I always knew I was going to write a book. So I knew, okay, here we are, here we go. And it was a miserable experience. And then one day I was taking my morning walk down to the ocean. I was in Santa Monica at the time, and it just started pouring in. And it was different than what I had thought I was going to write. And so it's kind of funny, too, as I reflected later, it was kind of like ditching the book that your mind was going to create and writing the one your soul intended. Yeah,
right.
And from that point on, it came through in about 2 months' time. And it was
That's
a great
beautiful.
Experience.
Yeah. That's how I write. I write a book in 1 to 3 months, and I've written one in 3 weeks. I've got 22 books done.
Wow.
With that said, let's just take a break. We're going to come back and talk about your book. We're going to talk about the day that you woke up. Right now, I would like to play a commercial for the latest book of mine that's out there. However, I've written 3 since last fall, and this book is entitled Shades of Gay, so stay tuned.
Prepare to be shocked. Prepare to be moved. Prepare to laugh. Prepare to cry. And prepare to be inspired. Dive into David Clark's latest book, Shades of Gay, and you will find yourself plunged into the trenches of sexual addiction. You will embark upon a kaleidoscopic tour from the abyss to higher ground. In the beginning, it was love at first sight when Daniel and Mark met, but through the years, that same love became tainted. Daniel, an alcoholic and sex addict, has found himself unable to resist the lure of other men. When Mark discovers his infidelity, he leaves Daniel, who begins a dark descent into sexual tryst after tryst. Shades of Gay reveals the myriad desires a lost man can permit his body and soul to revel in despite the pain they bring. But can such fleeting moments of pleasure bring meaning to life? Will Daniel realize the love he had with Mark is worth more than the sweat spent in other men's beds?
And to receive the answer to that, go to Amazon.com and put in Shades of Gay by David Clark. You have to put in my name, Clark with an E, because there are other books out there with the same title. And it's received 5 out of 5 stars consistently from its readers. So I encourage you, if you're looking for an inspiring read that's a romantic story that will involve all your human emotions, to try it out. And as people know, I have a background of addiction, as Jaya has alluded to herself. And so before we talk about your book, let's talk a little bit about your addictive background. You talked about drugs. How did you recover from that? And do you believe that once an addict, always an addict, or that somebody can actually recover?
Ah, I love that question.
I do too.
because we call it recovery.
12-step programs have a certain attitude, and I disagree with them, although I think they're God's gift from America from the 20th century, and they really helped me a lot. But please answer the question.
Yeah, so that there's actually a lot with that recovery question. And I actually went to an AA meeting after you know, several years after I hadn't had any impulse to drink or smoke or cocaine was my drug of choice. And also being 250 pounds overweight, you know, so there's all kinds, right? Addiction to negativity and judgment. So, and when I told someone and they said, you know, are you, because you have to identify yourself as, you know, an alcoholic or an addict. And I can't remember in the conversation, it was brought up at a certain point, and I shared that that was no longer my identity or experience. And it's in that particular moment, it actually was taken, and they said, "Wow, you're very lucky," which was an interesting response. But I've also met with, "That's not possible. You're in denial."
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and so so I can see absolutely the benefits and the amounts of people that have been helped in programs such as those. And I can also see some of the limitations, that there's a ceiling there and you can only ever go so far. And there's there can be fear about what's going to happen if you,
right,
if you don't,
right,
you know, if you stop going to meetings. And so, well, my experience, it started to a love affair with alcohol, as I termed it, not in this book. There's some other ones being written right now. And it started there, and it would just, you know, it would numb the pain. And it was really this existential, spiritual pain of very young having it, you know, is this all there is? And if this is all there is, you know, let's just check out, because this isn't enough. just trying to succeed materially and getting some baubles here and there. And, you know, what am I doing here? So that was this obsessive search that about 5 years old, I can remember having these thoughts and this angst. And so the drugs, you know, later on cocaine and different things. So what stopped it initially, the first time, I would say, at least it stopped the harder the cocaine use, was an experience of a couple that my boyfriend and I at the time, we hadn't seen them in a little bit, and they had a child. And so as lines were being done on the kitchen table, the child was propped up in a high chair. And there was something inside of me that was just like, this is so wrong. And I had never thought that I might have a child someday, or, you know, I never thought anything on to the next day or the next month. And that did it. That in that moment, I thought, you know what, I want to quit this, because this, you know, something inside maybe knew I was going to have a child. Or so that was the initial stopping for that. And then everything else really stopped after that inner awakening. It just, there was no reason for it anymore, because there was no reason to numb out anymore. You know, who wants to numb out from joy and peace? So
right, right. Well, I have recovered from alcoholism, and I will not identify myself as an alcoholic. In my past, I didn't touch a drop of alcohol for 16 years. I was able to safely drink a glass of wine now and then, and usually when it was offered to me, I wasn't in the mood for it. And if I had two glasses of wine, I didn't like the feeling, and so I would stop. So that to me is recovery. Now, as far as my sexual addiction goes, I should say that now that I'm attending AA meetings, I don't drink because I don't want to be a hypocrite. But I say I'm sober today, and I say the same thing at a 12-step program for sexual addiction. I say I'm sexually sober today, and that's a grace. It's a miracle, because that was my primary addiction. So let's get back to your book. Now, you talk about the day everything changed in your book. What exactly changed, and what caused the change?
Well, that was the change. It was the change in perspective, I guess I could say, who and what I was. So from a, you know, human being born of these parents, you know, all these experiences and my name and this is who I am, and all of that just seemed to dissolve, and that eternal presence that we talked about, the love and the joy, it's like, wow, that's who I am. And you can't, coming from, you know, I mean, in a larger term, who can say? Because that's, that it's, there is an element of grace You can't sit down and go, okay, that's it, I'm going to wake up. You know? But there is something, there does seem to be a cause and effect between being tortured by questions such as who am I and what am I doing here since you're young, and really being haunted by them and engaging those questions. And, you know, not just as a hobby. And even though part of you is trying to numb out like crazy, the other part, it just can't be numbed out. That desire to know is so strong. And so that feels like that was part of the mix.
Well, tell us more about your book. Is there a story in it, or is it a practical book? Unfortunately, I have not read it. So would you try to tell me in 5 minutes or less what the book is about?
Yeah, so this was still isn't a bit challenging what it's about, because as I described before, it wasn't written from a concept or, you know, I'm going to write a book on this. It really was jogging in the beach. It started coming. I had no idea where it was going, no idea what it was about, and I just showed up every day and wrote. And so it, in a sense, that's what the book is about. It's about living, planning it out, but being engaged with that universal presence and trusting and having faith that what you're being guided to do in that moment is it, and acting on it, and that's a good part of it. So it's, there are personal stories in it, and people say they really enjoy that part because it does, you know, it gives it a human presence. And then there's also aspects of it which are, you know, purely, I guess, the word channeled gets thrown out about, you know, it's not like it's Archangel Michael or anything. But parts of it where I came back the next day and went, wow, where did that come from? And there are 12 chapters to it. And what started to happen a few years after it was written, I started teaching a class, a 12-week class on the book. And so each chapter does have a theme of, it starts out with the child innocence regained, because we lose that innocence of who we are, and that trust and that knowing of who we are.
No, we could talk about that for an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, each chapter, and I've been asked also, you know, or saying, you know, you could write a book on each chapter. So we'll see about that. But that's what we go into the classes. We go in pretty deep on those.
Well, I encourage you to do just that, Jaya, because the book I'm working on right now is called Awaken to Your Spirit, and I'm co-authoring it with another radio show host and author who happens to be a minister three times over, and she is known as one of the top four psychics in the world. Her name is Mary Blake, and her book is Journals of a Healer, which chronicles multi-life therapy that she does to help erase karma in the current life by going back and rewriting history in former lives, because as you and I know, linear time is not reality. It all happens at the same instant. So she can actually take a person to a point before a trauma occurs, and spirit works through her and directs that person to avoid the trauma. And then it can transcend all of the lives and transform them because the block is removed and they no longer have those challenges in their present life. It's beautiful. I've done it. It's not cheap, but it's cheaper than a psychiatrist, and it's accomplished in 1 2-hour session. So if anybody's interested in that, please contact me at dcowder, that's D-C-O-W-D-E-R, at twcny.rr.com. And if you missed that, just go back and listen to the recording, fast forward through it, and it's dcowder at twcny.rr.com. I'd be happy to put you in touch with Mary, who can even do it over the telephone, although she's located in New York City. But some people have referred to your book, Living Beyond Belief, as their new Bible. Why do you think they respond to it and resonate with it so strongly?
The first time someone said that, it kind of freaked me out a little bit. And then when I heard it again and then again in another context, I thought, wow, this is really interesting. And you know, what comes is it, there's something about it, since it's written in that timeless space, and in that space, you could say, of innocence. So that unconditioned aspect of being, it's a living word. And so people have synchronicity with it. They have, you know, I've heard a lot of times they put it on their nightstand and open it up to the space, and, oh, that's exactly what I needed to read. So it becomes, you know, some people said more than a book. And, you know, honestly, I just wrote it. It was all just kind of happening and without a lot of thought or conscious even intention on my part, other than just to be of service. And so when someone came to me and said, oh my gosh, I've read it 4 times, you know, the initial response, and it was just so automatic, and it just showed where I was at that moment, you know, it was like, why? So it's taken a while for aspects of the self, you know, just to sort of grow into that as well. And, yeah, really that's what we're all doing. So we're all growing into that more authentic being of what we really are, beyond all of karma, and being in that space and getting used to being in that space. And, you know, it's different.
Let's talk a little bit about the law of cause and effect. Do you believe in it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Which is otherwise referred to as karma, which I believe comes from the Hindu tradition. And that reminds me of the question I was going to ask you much earlier. We can get back to that if there's time. What would you have to say about how to erase karma in our current lives and what we can do to avoid creating negative karma or to create positive karma?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. Boy, there's a few different answers. There's like 3 different roads we could go down. But, you know, there's one, you know, how we, so as far as, you know, believing in cause and effect, and it absolutely exists, and it exists on the level of belief. And you could also say on the level of separation, because there has to be time, there has to be space, all these things, and things get created and they move on a timeline. And so what happens when we move into the space of, you could call it zero point or innocence or grace, the karma doesn't exist in that space.
Right.
So there's always a part
right.
of us that's never been touched and has no karma. And so that's one, you could say that's one way. And then when you're in that space, you don't create any new negative karma, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's really no karma. It's just all love. And that's the space. Really,
yes.
That we're talking about, the heaven on earth. It's beyond karma,
yes.
beyond space.
Yes.
And so that's what, when we go into the events and they do the events, we go into that zero-point space through the music and the poetry and the flow, and things are released, you know. And so, and I have no control over what that is or how that's done. I just open up and that happens. But that is that truth of who we are, that zero-point.
I like that word release better than forgiven, because God sees no such thing as sin. You talked about how karma doesn't really exist in the timeless realm. It is something that we create through this illusory experience of life. And as far as sin goes, I believe it's missing the mark, that God doesn't see us as anything other than what we are, which is perfect, whole, and complete, and that it's human to err, but to forgive is divine, or to release is divine, and the only person that judges us is ourselves. So, folks, you need to do self-forgiveness or self-release and stop judging yourself. What do you think, Jaya?
Yeah, well, that's what the mind, it's almost like that's what we're trained to do. That's what the mind is trained to do, or that's kind of what it does naturally, is judge,
yeah.
You know, it judges. And then there can also, of course, be positive thoughts. But, yeah, so there's tools that we can use to realize when we are judging, when the mind is kind of going off on a story, to come back and to really question that. And to let it go and release. And, you know, at the same time, there's that we can intend it and we can be willing to allow it to release. And that moment of release, again, it comes in a sense by grace, because we can say the word and we can intend it. And then when it comes, you know, we just have to be ready for that to let it go. Because, again,
right,
we can be really used to those patterns and that energy. And, so, you know, so what happens when we let go of that? Oh, my gosh, who am I then? You know, we become so identified with those energy,
yeah,
patterns and thoughts. Yeah.
Right. Well,
and
intentions are powerful. Well, intentions are powerful. And thoughts,
mm-hmm,
are powerful. Thoughts are like a prayer, so be careful what you pray,
mm-hmm,
for. You might just get it. And when,
mm-hmm,
you send up your intention, I would recommend that you send it up with faith, that with an inner knowing that it will manifest, and proclaim so be it, and ask that it be for your highest good and the highest good of all. That's my new prayer. But the point,
mm-hmm,
is to use affirmative faith-based prayer. And so let's get back to the book. Can you tell me what inspired you to write it? Or, I think you basically covered that, but is there anything else,
mm-hmm,
you'd like to say on that subject?
No, that it feels pretty pretty complete.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's turn to your singing. Did you always dream of singing?
Never. Ever.
Really?
Never wanted to be in front of anyone. It was just horrifying when it started happening. Honestly.
Well, you know, there's an acronym for fear: face everything and recover. It sounds like that's what you did.
Yeah, and, you know, the intention, talk about intention, the intention to serve and to follow that guidance within and to be in that flow of joy, that was stronger than anything else. And so that won out. But there's absolutely fear and no intention of doing any of that. So
It sounds like your soul stepped in.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Well, on that note, let's listen to Jaya Lee's song, Touch of Your Soul. This is Jaya Lee that I'm with today, and this is her song entitled Touch of Your Soul.
Tore me apart. Now I'm ready to open my heart. I don't know where it will go as I surrender to the touch of your soul. A love so pure, a love so kind. Allow the process to unwind. Letting fear melt away, I'll take your hand, you lead the way. The darkness fades, it's spring again. In you I find a special friend. It's all becoming very clear, discovering now why I'm here. Letting go, the past that tore me apart. Now I'm ready to open my heart. I don't know where it will go as I surrender to the touch of your soul. Done with confusion, done with the pain. I'm choosing life and love again. My dear love, my gentle grace, won't you join in this phase? Letting go the past that tore me apart. Now I'm ready to open my heart. I don't know where it will go as I surrender to the touch of your soul.
Of your soul from her CD, Pure Divinity. And how can people get your CD?
It is up on iTunes. And then it's also, there's a page on the jayasgaya.org website that they can
okay.
go through there.
And where can they get your book, Living Beyond Belief?
That, I believe, is still up on Amazon. And then, and also, again, it can, through me and the website, there's a page on the book with the a little more written up on it, if anyone is interested in that. It's on the jayasgaya.org, our Living Beyond Belief page.
Wonderful. Now, I'm going to tell the listeners right now that we're going to go past the hour point. So if you want to hear the rest of this interview, you will need to go to freespiritbroadcasting.com. Actually, specifically, you will need to go to differentstrokes.freespiritbroadcasting.com and click on the link for today's show, and that will be up about 15 minutes after the show is over, so you can catch it later on, say, around 4:45, 5 o'clock there. And let's back up a little bit. Let's go back to 12-step programs. What do you think about the expression progress, not perfection?
Well, again, there's different dimensions of who we are. So on one part, it's helpful and it's useful. And so if someone's, you know, perfectionism can be like a disease, and we can use, you know, our idea that we're not perfect to use, you know, to beat ourselves up and make ourselves feel bad. But that's a
right.
concept that we have of perfection. And so, and then on the other end, you know, that part of us that is pure divinity that's emerging, that we're becoming more and more aware of, it's been whole and complete unto itself. So
right.
that already is. So then we can see where that phrase might be a hindrance or might,
right.
you know.
Do you believe it's possible for a human to become illuminated and perfect in the body?
Well, you know, so this is interesting. What's coming is, you know, it's almost irrelevant whether I believe it or not, or whether
mm-hmm.
it, you know, believes it or not, unless, you know, if I believe that and I really say this is, I can see this manifesting in my life, and that's an intention or that's something that resonates deeply with me, and that can help, that can serve for that to be a potential and a possibility. It, you know, for this is interesting, so because what we call human is what we generally refer to as human is the, you know, the person, the personality, and for the personality to become illuminated. That's interesting. But, you know, again, there's an aspect of being that already is. And
yes.
so to desire that can even be something that can throw us off, you know, because right now in this moment, there is such radiant perfection and such amazing grace going on right now. And so that kind of thing, you know, someday I hope to be perfect, or I wish, you know, it's more of, it's happening right now, and that grace and perfection moves through us and manifests as us. And, you know, so again, it kind of comes back to the idea of
mm-hmm.
what is perfect. And that can, that concept can really plug us up and stop us in our tracks. And, you know, it's really not about the concept. It's not about the what we should be. It's
right.
really, you know, realizing what we are.
Well, should is a dirty word. And
yes.
I believe in the power of affirmation, which is setting an intention. And to claim a quality or a prayer that you wish to manifest as if it's happening now, because now is where it is happening at the cosmic realm. So, for instance, if you claim perfection and say, I am perfect as I am right here and now, who knows what could become to you? And I don't think a personality is ever going to be complete. If we are willing to grow and change, our personality will change. But what is happening is that our soul is evolving. And if we can become illuminated, I believe it will be as if an alien descended into our body. People will not recognize us. People that have known us years ago will say, you're not the person I knew. And that can jar somebody's reality if they have a fragile ego. So, folks, stick with the winners, stay around people that affirm you, and don't listen to people that say, I don't know who you are, because chances are they're projecting their own stuff onto you. They don't know who they are. And it's uncomfortable for them to witness change in you because it challenges them to change, and change is very frightening to the ego. What do you think about that?
Oh, that's absolutely right on. And, you know, that's been one of the more, personally, it's been one of the more challenging parts of letting go of people I had seen as friends that weren't ready to maybe grow into more of who they are, or even to accept me in the newness that was emerging, you could say. You know, it's a challenge, that part. It can be, and again, it doesn't have to be, but a lot of times we'll have thoughts and take things personally, and but there's more waiting, because as you go to a different vibration, and there is more joy and more peace and more love and more of all of that emerging in your life, you'll naturally be attracted to and find others who are in that that same frequency. And
just bless
people and move on as needed, and part of the path.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and likewise, or conversely, people that may judge you will not be drawn to you anymore. They may automatically turn away from you for whatever reason. There is a law of cause and effect in this universe, and it has to do with vibration. And the vibration you put out might be too powerful for some to endure, and so they may just stay away. They may stop calling. And you're going to attract those who do affirm you and embrace your soul because they recognize a kindred spirit. So anyhow, let's talk a little bit more about your singing. You've been called a shamanic performance artist. What does that mean, and how did your work develop?
Well, and so that came up a little bit before when we were talking about singing and doing the poetry and work like that, and even tantric dance sometimes. Well, even tantric dance, that will is also something that I share. And it has the potential to take people into that unconditioned space where some deep healing can take place. In shamanic terms, there's a term soul retrieval. So things like that started happening, and at first I didn't know what was happening. When I was first doing classes and sharing some of the music, in one class, four people fell asleep. I thought,
I really
need to, pump things up, I just thought, oh my gosh, I'm putting people to sleep. And it would happen too, in the event sometimes. I was just doing a little bit here and there. But then I was talking with a healer one day, and he was kind of doing a reading and said, I didn't tell him anything. And he said, the quality and the strength of the energy, sometimes the only way some people can really fully receive it is to fall asleep. And because then it can bypass the mind and go in.
That's right.
And that just,
that's right.
That just helps so much. I mean, I knew I was doing what I was meant to be doing, but at the same time, when people are open mouth sleeping in front of you when you're doing a presentation, it kind of goes, you know, are you sure this is what I'm supposed to be doing? Because I don't know. It just looks good.
Yeah.
But, so over time, things have clarified, and I've realized the depth that the work goes and touches. And sometimes people have actually had physical healings in the circle. And like I said, the release of old patterns and energies and karmas, and it's just really exciting. It's really fun to do this, and this is what I'm doing a little bit more of right now. It's these Something More events where we just sit in circle, and it's also has been termed poetic satsang. So satsang is, you know, we're sitting with truth, and the truth with a capital T of who we really are. And we're just allowing whatever needs to emerge to come forth and trusting that that needs to be there. And then there's an energy that happens, and people have seen angels. And so things like this happen, and it's really an honor to be with people in that space and to work with them.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Well, what is Jaya's Gaya, I'm not sure how to say it, and what is the mission of Jaya's Gaya?
Yeah, it's Jaya's Gaya, and the Jaya's part, so it happens to be my name. My partner came up with this name, and, you know, at first it was like, oh, gosh, you know, I don't really want to have, you know, quote-unquote, my name in it. But the word Jaya, it's an ancient, it's a Sanskrit word, ancient Hindu, and it means victory. And it's spiritual victory, which is not so much a victory over, you know, something else, but a victory of awakening to ultimate reality. And then Gaia is the Mother Earth, and so it's really awakening heaven on earth. That's
okay.
And in a nutshell, that's the mission. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, who do you want to be? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I don't want to be anybody.
Good. All right.
I am that I am. Why would I want to be anybody?
You know, I think that's the right answer. I believe it is. What is your vision for yourself?
Oh, boy. Well, the vision is continually emerging. Right, just as the universe is emerging and or expanding, I should say. One of the visions that came in a while back and just really captivated me was a world where no prisons existed, where all prisons had evolved into healing centers. And I was working in a prison ministry at the time at Agape International, if anyone has heard of that. And then started to go in and do my own weekly classes with the book, with the Living Beyond Belief book, and some just beautiful, miraculous, amazing things were happening. And it just made me realize even more that freedom had nothing to do with circumstances. It really is a state of mind. And I knew that firsthand because I woke up within a circumstance of a relationship that was very nightmarish kind of thing, but I was free within that. It really didn't matter. We think that the outer needs to change and then I'm going to be free, but it's really the other way around. We realize the truth of who we are and that we are eternally free, and then the circumstances change or not, but we're still free. And so that's a vision that comes in. And part of the nonprofit that's being formed, that is part of the intention, is to participate in that evolution of prisons to, you know, centers where people have the space to come into the awareness of who they are and to go through the healing process rather than just be you know, put into a tank and labeled and judged and all that kind of stuff that goes on.
Well, you've touched on this, but how do you help others find their soul purpose?
Well, what comes in is through the arts. This just recently came in as a term, but through the arts and through different healing modalities, it came when I asked, you know, what am I? What am I, you know, what am I really doing? And what came in is you're an escape artist. So you assist other people in escaping the illusion, and you also help people to allow that inner genius to escape from their own being. And so that's really what we do. We use a lot of creative means and art to access that place inside ourselves and take creative risks in our lives and, you know, in our art, if that's what we're doing, to grow and expand, you know.
Well, who are the people that would most benefit from the services you offer?
Those would be people that really deep desire for something more. And, you know, when we're little, it's there and we get talked out of it, and then we get talked out of it again and again. but it's there. It doesn't leave. It can't go anywhere. It's who we are. And so for those that are really, really, really ready and wanting to commit to releasing that inner splendor, and to doing, you know, being what they came here to be and doing what they came here to do without having to have a concept even of what that is at all, because it comes through in the moment and it's always emerging. So the willingness to do that.
Well, willingness is a key. And I think it's also important to say, when you talk about how we get talked out of things, which we do, that there is another factor involved, and that is that we allow ourselves to get talked out of it. There is something called the art of allowing that Esther Hicks talks about. And in order to avoid a manifestation, we have to avoid resistance to ideas. We have to be open to possibilities. We have to be willing to change. There are all these different things. So do you have any upcoming events or classes that people can attend?
Well, I am this Saturday up here in the Grass Valley area, which is where I am right now, stationed or living. And we're doing that at the Sierra Center for Spiritual Living. And it's a four-hour presentation, thought song, like I was talking about, and then some other ones we're going to be putting on the calendar, and then we're also going to be doing some online events, a mystic poetry class coming up. I think that's one of the things, and a Living Beyond Belief. We're going to we've done a little bit online with that before, so in person, and doing a little more online events. And also a cleanse, that's right. We do the medicine meals cleanse, because nutrition and cleansing out your body, it absolutely raises your vibration. So that's another little element that we've experimented in. Yeah.
That's beautiful. I have a question for you. Do you believe that an illuminated being, a totally conscious person, can raise the consciousness of all? One person.
Absolutely. I mean, again, it's, you know, what I believe or not is kind of irrelevant, but, you know, energy is everything. And so as each one of us, and, you know, one of the parts of, I just want to say just a tiny bit on this because I know we're ending, but, you know, an illuminated being, and so for a lot of people on the planet, some, you know, a personality of Jesus would pop in, so
yes.
Someone who has lived and lived that model. And so we tend to, the same thing we do with God, we tend to project that onto someone else. And so what I would just want to say is that any moment that we're allowing those higher frequencies and energies to override the lower thoughts and the lower actions, we could say, we are that illuminated being. In that moment,
yeah.
We are that.
Yeah.
So, and it
well,
absolutely
like
has the power to raise the consciousness or collective on the planet.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right, and Jesus has probably had more profound effect than anybody, although there have been many other spiritual masters throughout the centuries that have been illuminated. I don't think anybody in history has achieved a total illumination of the planet, because when that happens, then time and space as we recognize it will no longer need to exist. What is the point I'm trying to make? Oh, my goodness. I lost it, and it was an important point, so maybe it will come back to me. But while I'm just letting that go, what other ways can people reach you besides your website? Are there any other ways?
The website and, boy, I think I had something. That would be the best way. That would be the best
okay.
way. Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a lot of different information up there, and so that is the jayasgaya.org, the O-R-G. And there's individual sessions that we do via Skype. Lots of fun stuff. Lots of ways
Are
to
you...
play in spirit.
Right. Mm-hmm. Are you on Facebook?
I am on Facebook, so that is another way. The individual page, I started another one, but if you go to Living Beyond Belief with Jaya Lee, that's also a page that connect in.
And how do you spell Lee?
L-E-E.
Easy. Okay.
Yeah, that's the easy one. The Jaya is the J-A-I-A. That's the one that's a little tricky, but yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for joining us today, and I want to say that I believe there is somebody out there now that can raise the consciousness of the whole planet so that we can realize heaven, not just on Earth, which we already have the capability of doing. Earth will cease to need to exist once consciousness is raised. But I would like everybody pray for this person wherever they are, and prayer is powerful. Now, I was going to ask you what religions you resonate most with, without criticizing ones that you don't like.
No, and there's no, and you know what, actually right now, I mean, I can walk into a Catholic church, I can walk into anywhere, God
uh-huh.
is everywhere, and so
yes,
there's really no desire to criticize. I would say, though, things that have resonated really deeply are the Sufi tradition and the Taoist.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because both
wow.
have the tendency to go with the flow and be out of the mind and, you know, these kind of things, I'd say.
Yes, yes. Have you ever done a Sufi dance?
Very naturally. Actually, Rumi and Hafez and the poetry of that part of the world has come very easily, and I've worked with a lot of Persian Americans in translating and have attended
uh-huh.
different functions. Yeah, so that's a very strong, that resonates very deeply. Oh, and also Native American since I was little. And I have gone to different reservations and spent time
mm-hmm.
with Native American people.
Cool.
And my
ex-husband
cool. is part Native American. So, yeah.
Well, thank you again. And I hope you'll come back and join us again and bring some more music. Do you have plans for any more CDs?
There is. There's enough music for another one, and then the idea has already come in for the next one with a few more songs. So yeah, there's about seven more books as well. So they're all coming through in their own time and their own way.
Great.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
People, I have a book coming out with Mary Blake that I referred to earlier. So sometime later this year or next year, look for Awaken to awaken. Oh my goodness! Now, isn't that something? I can't remember it, but that's all right. The book's not out there yet. It's got awaken in the title. It's got awaken. Oh, awaken to your spirit. It's going to be a book that's going to have many books in one, but it's going to keep it simple, because things that are complicated are hard for people to take in, and things that are simple are spiritual truths. So Mary and I are keeping it simple.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us today, and I wish you Godspeed. And I'm going to call you after the interview. Can I call you at the number you called in on?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Very good. Well, thank you, Jaya.
All right. Thank you. Blessings.
Okay. So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing of separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who are having a spiritual experience. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.
You have been listening to Different Strokes for Different Folks. To find common ground and take it to the next level, here on Blog Talk Radio with David Clark, every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to this broadcast again on srbroadcasting.com.